Hello, you're listening to Drawn to the Flame, a podcast for fans of Arkham Horror the card game. We're sometimes fortnightly, we're sometimes monthly. I'm your host, Frank, and today I'm joined by...
It's me, Peter. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
An absolutely seamless intro there.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Doing good. Much better than last week. Excited to look at more cards. We've got Wilson Phillips to go today.
Yeah. Unless the spinner picks neutral. You never know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Why don't you spin that wheel and let's dive in?
I'm going to spin that wheel. And it's Guardian. Well, that's worked.
What a surprise. What a surprise. Yeah, it'd be egg on your face if we didn't get to talk about Guardian.
And my face would be in alignment. Okay, cool. Yeah, we've got Guardian. So Wilson Phillips plus his suite of tools and various other bits and bobs.
Yeah, quick Wilson reminder. He gets +1 skill value during skill tests on tool assets, and you get to reduce the resource cost of the first tool asset you play each round by one. So you get this little economy boost there. His deck building is wild to me. Tool 0 to 5, Guardian 0 to 4, and then up to 5 other improvised and or upgrade cards, level 0 to 1. So, yeah, we need to keep an eye out for tools across all of the classes, and then also improvised and upgrades 0 to 1. And the improvised events are things like Winging It, right?
Yes, I love Winging It. One of my favourite cards.
Yeah, and yeah, various other
there is
weird
the
things.
Shield.
Jury Rig is an upgrade. Yeah, the shield, right?
Yeah, is it called Improvised Shield? What's it called?
Yeah, Improvised Shield. It can only be played from your discard pile.
Yeah.
And it's 3 health. Yeah, so you can pull that out. Jury Rig is an upgrade. When you attach it to an asset, you can get +2 to tests on that asset 3 times, which is kind of nice.
Oh, yes, nice.
And we did see Push to the Limit as well when we did the Survivor preview, which is that one that allows you to pick a weapon or tool in your discard pile and trigger it and then shuffle it back into your deck. So there's stuff to play around with there. And Ad Hoc is his signature. We've mentioned this before as well. You attach it to a tool or a weapon, and after you resolve an action ability on the attached asset, you exhaust Ad Hoc, discard a tool or weapon from your hand to resolve an action on the discarded card. So you kind of turn one asset into one that then when you use it, it allows you to use other assets, which is wild.
Found out that a tool is used differently by Australians, because I was in Australia back end of last year.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah. Is it weapon? Yeah, weapon is used by Australians to mean someone who's quite good at something. Like they might be quite sharp, quite lethal.
Oh, interesting.
But often I think we would say weapon to be someone who's just not very good at something. It's an absolute weapon.
Yeah.
Someone unskilled.
Which is curious, right? It makes sense that you'd say that they're good. Like, he's a weapon, he's a threat.
Yeah, and same with tool. If someone's a tool, that's not a good thing. But tools are very useful.
Yeah.
So, don't know why that's come about.
So we look at some Guardian cards?
Sorry, that was a distraction. Yes, let's do
that's
it.
That's right.
It's you first this time, I think.
And first we have Ancestral Token. And this was previewed by Until the End of Time, Veronica.
Yeah, I was going to say it was V did this one.
3 cost asset, willpower icon, item, charm and blessed. Reaction, after you defeat an enemy, exhaust Ancestral Token. Add blessed tokens to the chaos bag, equal to that enemy's printed health, maximum 5. Never forget those who came before. Null health, 2 sanity, takes up the accessory slot.
What do you think?
What do you make of this? Yeah, snap.
I think it's a bit expensive, I think was my original thought on this.
I think if you see it early, which obviously is a thing you can say about any card, this potentially is a really nice blessed generator. Mm-hmm. It's in the class that do the fighting, not always, but often. And even if you're, say, adding 2 or 3 bless every time you use this, that's fine. It is in obviously a very competitive slot, but we have seen a cult reliquary, which could hold this for you. I agree with you, like 3 cost is expensive.
Yeah. I don't want to play this first turn because those 3 resources, I'm going to need to play my weapon, usually. If you're flush with cash early on, yes, play it.
Yeah. But that's the issue, right?
Yeah.
You kill a couple of enemies before you've managed to get it down, then it's like, is it worth getting it down because I've killed 2 already?
I do like that it has two sanity soak, because that's nice in a card you might discard out of the slot when a better accessory shows up later in the game.
Mm.
If you've got a Riot Whistle, what you could do is early on stack the bag with Blessed Tokens. Mm-hmm. Like, what's it called? Keep Faith. That's two cost for four Bless, right? At level zero?
Yeah, fast.
So if you get 4, 5, 6 Bless out of this, sort of, I guess, paid its way a little bit. And then you can say, okay, cool, well, I'll take the two sanity, you know, two sanity heal, two horror heal, basically.
Yeah.
I'll take that, discard it, and then I'll play, I don't know, my Lucky Cigarette case or whatever good accessory I've actually packed to bring along in my deck.
Yeah, my Hallowed Mirror.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the big one. Or I guess, you know, your cross, if you're Zoe's
cross.
Whatever it is.
Well, I think if you're in Zoe, it's just, if you've taken the mirror, it's hard to justify this as well, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, double Relic Hunter just to have this accessory suite. I guess and other right comparison point here is Holy Rosary level 2, which is a Guardian card, also has two Sanity Soak, also takes up this slot, gives you +1 willpower, and when you pass a willpower treachery, you add 2 Bless.
Yeah, that's tough to hit.
So it's a similar thing of this kind of passive Bless generation and repeated, it's Bless Drip rather than Bless Burst. And I guess that's what this is as well, that you're hoping, really, I think realistically, you're actually hoping to put quite a lot of Bless in the bag with this over the course of the scenario. How much health worth of enemies do you think one kills over a scenario? Because I think it was probably more than we would think, you know, probably in the teens overall.
Yeah.
Obviously player count dependent here. In that regard, like, oh, okay, this is pretty generous as a card. Also, you have to be the one doing the defeating, which is good that this is in Guardian, but it's worth being aware of that. If you want to run this in, say, Kahaku, you need to be ready to do the fighting.
Yeah.
Should we move on?
Yeah, let's. So it's me.
This is a new card.
Cleaning Kit, a 3-cost asset with a single intellect icon, and it has the item and tool traits. Uses 3 supplies. Supplies on Cleaning Kit may be spent as if they were supplies or ammo on assets you control. This uses the accessory slot. It cleans, it fixes, it picks, plucks, shines, and swishes. Schaffner's Catalogue, Winter 1924 edition.
This is lovely. This is like a flavour from another card. How often has that been the case? Yeah. So, 3 cost, 3 supplies, and these supplies are just supplies or ammo on
you control. Yeah.
It's a little bit like an extra ammunition, but with a... The offering here is it's more versatile than that, because it can be for anything. You don't have to add that ammo to one thing.
Yes. Feels similar-ish to, what's he called, Venturer.
Yeah.
In a different slot. Now, I think Venturer probably still fits in some classes better, in some investigators better, sorry. So, Leo, for instance.
You pay 3 and get 3 ammo from Leo. So, yeah, fits...
Yeah, very neatly. And Wilson pays 2, gets 3 ammo from this.
Yeah, that's nice as well, yeah.
And also, you could swap it back into your hand if you draw an Elder Sign at some point, which is really nice.
Notably, you could use this as a charge on a fingerprint kit, potentially.
Yeah, that's really nice. There must be quite a few things that use supplies, right?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because there are also various tools out there that don't use supplies, like your magnifying glass or your ice pick.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's finding the right balance. I mean, Chainsaw does use supplies.
Yeah.
So you could use it on that. But then you've got tools like the shovel and the lantern that obviously don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, finding... And keyring uses keys. It doesn't use supplies, so you can't use it for that.
Yeah.
It's a really curious... If every tool used supplies, I think I'd be like, wow, Cleaning Kit is brilliant. But it's making sure that you actually have enough assets in your deck that care about that. Flashlight uses supplies.
Yeah.
That's good.
The thing I always like about cards like this are that they are... Because the uses... It's additional uses that are very flexible.
Yeah.
It's not put 3 charges on flashlight. It's 3 more ammo or charges on flashlight. Whatever you need more of. Whatever you've run out of, this is 3 more of it.
You know what? Thieves' Kit is a tool.
Ah.
That's 2 cost in Wilson, He can investigate with intellect, and he'd be an intellect 4 and gain resources. It's not too bad. He probably wants resources, although he has a resource ability printed on him. Yeah, okay. We keep an eye on it. I feel like it's a Wilson card to start, but maybe there are more places that it fits. The accessory slot is the part that's hard. We started with 2 accessories in Guardian. It's such a difficult slot to justify. Shall I move us on?
Yeah, let's.
Next, we have Katana. Wow. Continuing the Japanese theme that we've seen across the cards. This is a 4-cost asset with a combat icon. It's item, weapon, and melee. Action fight. You get +2 combat for this test. If you succeed by exactly 2, you may exhaust Katana to deal +2 damage for this attack. And then there's also exhaust Katana fight. Use agility instead of combat for this attack. Takes up 2 hands. Wow.
Okay, so that's like a fast, like...
fast single damage.
Yeah. So 1 action to kill a 3 health enemy. Oh no, hang on. Sorry. I missed the first part of it. You get +2 combat for this attack. If you succeed by exactly 2, you may exhaust Katana
to deal three damage.
Okay, cool.
This is weird. So it's a weird kind of clashing abilities here. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're either exhausting it to deal 2 damage or exhausting it to deal 3 damage. But you need to have succeeded by exactly 2.
Exhausting it to deal 2 damage because what you've done a single fight and then you do and a fast fight.
Exactly.
Is what you're
saying. Yes.
Yeah.
If you want
Which
to kill
really
a 2
weird,
health
right?
enemy, one action. Yeah.
I attack a 3 health enemy. I use the first ability, but I don't succeed by exactly 2. So I'm only doing 1 damage. And then am I thinking, okay, well, then I'll exhaust it and use my agility for the second fight?
You can still
I don't know.
You can still fight normally with it for the rest
Once
of it.
Once it's exhausted.
Yeah. But you're only doing 1 damage.
Yeah. It's like swish, swish, swish. Wow. It reminds me a little bit of Butterfly Swords from Edge of the Earth. Again, it's taking up the 2 hands. And it's a style of sort of close combat fighter where you can do lots of actions doing different things. And obviously that falls down if you then can't pass the test or if you don't get enough of a boost.
Yeah.
For 4 cost as well, you want to be hitting that 3 damage pretty steadily. I wonder if there's anything else we'll see about helping you hit a certain threshold across the classes, because we've also seen that in Seeker, haven't we?
Yeah.
Succeed by exactly an amount rather than just succeed by a load. The exhaust ability, the second exhaust ability to get a fast fight, that's great. You have this offhand weapon that gives you a fast fight, except it's taking up both of your hand slots.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what are you doing other damage with? Are you doing, like, with events, and then you exhaust this, use your agility? And who has high enough agility that they're happy to do a fast fight? Skids with a katana?
Is that
where we're going?
I don't know.
Huh.
Interesting.
Super interesting. I guess Lily, right? Lily is the place you're thinking about.
Yeah.
And hey, Bandolier level 2 does give you 2 more hand slots.
Succeeding by exactly 2 is not easy either.
Yeah.
It would be my feeling.
Yeah, that's my feeling as well.
Feel like it's fine if you're piling into a big enemy, but I think... So what could you do?
So you're like first action attack. If I don't succeed by 2, I do 1 damage.
Which would put you at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 over a turn. If you did attack 1, attack 1, attack for 3.
Yeah, so only if you get the succeed by 2 on the final hit.
Well, I mean, at some point during the turn.
Yeah, you can keep fighting, can't you?
The max you could do with this would be 5 damage in a turn.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas just a 2 damage weapon, a machete, can potentially do 6 damage. And that only uses a single hand slot.
If we have anything around readying cards.
Yeah.
Like a galvanize.
Galvanize, yeah, potentially.
Get an extra action to swing again. Potentially you can get higher values. But even using this for 3 damage twice in a round still gets you to 8, which is the same as machete. Curious.
Yeah. Should we move on?
We'll keep an eye on that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes, I know this. This is Ofuda. Ofuda. I can't remember how he decided it was pronounced. This is a 2-cost asset with a willpower icon. It has the item, charm, and blessed trait. Uses 1 charge. Replenish this charge the first time a blessed token is revealed at your location each round. Free trigger. Choose a non-elite enemy or location and spend 1 charge. That enemy loses the alert, aloof, elusive, and retaliate keywords until the end of the round. Have your thoughts on this card changed since we talked about it, Frank? Because we revealed this card.
Yeah, we did reveal this card. No, but what I would say is we've just seen but we've just seen a two hand and then two accessory cards. And already I'm feeling like slot pressured in Guardian.
Mm.
And that this has no slot is what's so potent about it. That's really precious. Because slots feel like they're under more competition than ever. I think it's a really flexible, really lovely card. Nice reminder that the replenishment is really generous. Anyone needs to reveal a bless. It can only ever have one charge, but still, that's nice. And it's really toolboxy. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
Anything that's changed for you?
No. I think the lack of slot is nice. And I think it's a nice ability, actually. I think that's nice. It's just nice. I would be happy to slot one in a deck, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If I was in a blessed team.
Yeah, going into a scenario, being like, ooh, there's loads of retaliate in this scenario. It's like, yeah, no, that's fine. I've got this. Okay, next we have Wolfmask, the Moon's Sire. This is a one-cost asset with combat and agility icons. Item, charm, and mask. Limit one mask per investigator. Uses two offerings. Replenish one of these offerings after you engage an enemy. And there's a free trigger. Spend one offering. You get +2 combat or +2 agility for this skill test. Limit once per test. Great if you're using your katana fast action to get your agility boost. This is our final class mask.
What do you think of this one?
I feel like the replenishment ability is one of the easier ones here.
Yes, 100% agree.
Because enemies turn up all the time. You might be engaging with other people. They might be engaging you. That's absolutely fine. So you keep getting them. Repeatable combat boost in the class that wants to engage enemies and use combat against them. Great. Agility. I think we've talked about how you can get this slight clash in Guardian where do you want to be using your agility when you're using your combat? But I'd see the agility here as a defensive thing. It's just useful if you're getting hit by some treacheries.
Yeah.
Testing agility seems useful. And some Guardians, I'd say, at a push could probably evade something if they had a bit of an agility boost. So Wilson's got 3 agility, so he goes to a 5. We've talked about Lily already. She can be an agility 4 natively, go up to 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. Yeah, what do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, we mentioned Zoe a few times. Like, I don't think this is bad in Zoe. She's got 4 combat natively and would probably be using a weapon to give her +1 or +2. But that doesn't put her into the kind of smashing every combat test. Like, I guess any kind of 4 stat or 4 combat stat fighting character doesn't mind
would
this.
Would be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got the agility boost as well, so I think that's legit. Like, Zoe with 4 combat and 2 agility.
Even your man Roland, wanting to take on enemies to get clues.
Is he 3 agility?
Again, he's 2 agility, so he's 4 combat, 2 agility.
Oh, he's 3 intellect, isn't he? Yeah. No, I agree.
Cool.
It's nice. Now, for an enemy manager who's got a 4 combat stat, I can see it.
And Wolfmask was announced by Quick Learner. Great Arkham YouTube channel.
Amazing stuff.
As Until the End of Time is as well. I'm falling into that trap of starting to mention one. Everyone we mention is good. Do you want to read us our next card?
Yeah, let's do it. We've got Absolution. This is an X cost event with 2 willpower icons. And it has the spell and blessed traits. Reveal 3 random tokens from the Chaos Bag along with X additional tokens. For each non-symbol token revealed, add 1 blessed token to the Chaos Bag. For each blessed token revealed, heal 1 horror from an investigator or ally at your location.
This card was announced by Arkham in the Ether over on Instagram. Does beautiful pictures of playing Arkham, so definitely worth checking out.
Sorry, I'm taking in the card here. What do you think?
So pay 3. No, sorry, pay 0. Reveal 3 tokens. It could be add 3 bless. It could be heal 3 horror, and it's a nice generous... Oh no, it's from an investigator or ally. Oh no, it's for each. For each bless, heal 1 horror. So you can spread that out across the team. If you reveal symbol tokens other than bless, nothing happens. So there's a possibility that it whiffs.
Yeah. I would say it's probably quite a slim possibility, I would say. that it lives all together.
And then you also could, if you wanted to, pay, say, 10 resources.
Yeah, just reveal
13 tokens.
Yeah, really stack
and the bag end up adding, say, 5 bless into the bag and
getting a load of healing.
Healing a load of horror. I guess the way that that stops happening is that this is in Guardian and they often have not as many resources. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually thinking about, like, imagine if you did something with the rogue card, I'll pay you back.
Yeah.
Where you ended up giving the Guardian loads of resources because you take all of the resources off them and then give them back your resource pool. And then this could be really powerful. It's almost like if you can afford it, it's a sort of a panic button heal. If someone's about to be eliminated by horror, you can just smash this down as long as you can hit a few bless, as long as there are bless in the bag. It's very hard to evaluate, though, because it's variable.
Yeah, my gut feeling would be that it is good if you're playing in a bless team, because... Mm. Then you can leverage the healing effect. Like, I think just putting in up to 3 bless tokens, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay. I don't know. Potentially putting in 3 bless tokens.
If you pay 0, add 3 for an action, that's competes nicely with Keep Faith, which is fast but costs you 2.
Yeah, potentially. And gives you 4. Yeah.
But it's not good compared to Tempt Fate, which is fast, 3 bless, 3 curse, draw a card.
Yeah.
So it kind of doesn't compete there. I'm wondering as well, like, compare this to, say, Logical Reasoning. If I paid 2 for this and saw 5 tokens and I got 2 horror heal and a bless, yeah, I can see that. I guess that's really it. It's really you're going to want to pay a few resources to try and get some value out of this. So you have it sitting in hand as a, ooh, it's a 0 cost event, but it's not really.
Yeah.
Curious. Very curious card.
Should we move on?
Let's move on. Next is me, and we have Guided by Faith. This card was revealed by Great Old Ones Gaming. This is a 2-cost event, Willpower and Intellect icons, Spirit and Blessed. Spirit is your man Hank, right? As well as Calvin.
Yes.
Investigate. You may use Willpower instead of Intellect for this investigation. Before revealing Chaos Tokens for this test, add 2 Bless tokens to the Chaos Bag. If a Bless or Elder Sign token is revealed during this test, discover 1 additional clue at your location. What is the art doing in this, by the way?
I'm curious, like, what outfit is that he's wearing?
It's like some almost kind of like Napoleonic era. Yeah,
well, that's what I thought, yeah.
Oh, looking at the boats, is it like a missionary to Japan or something like that?
It could be, yeah.
Oh, no, actually, are the boats Venetian? Are they?
Yeah, the buildings in the background look Venetian.
And there are tentacles at the back underneath the intellect icon.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Is it like Carnival art? Is he like a Venetian sort of constable or something like that?
There's like a U on his helmet as well. Hat. I don't know, is this like sword? Civil War or missionary or something? Who knows?
But what about the card text?
Yeah, good? So, but is it good? Good question. I think it's okay. I think an investigate action that potentially gets you 2 clues.
Potentially, yeah.
And gives Guardian, you 2 bless. And gives you 2 bless for 2 cost. Like, I'm thinking about Scene of the Crime.
Yeah.
Or Evidence and things like that, which are clue cards in Guardian.
Yeah.
I think this seems okay in comparison.
Yeah, Scene of the Crime is a guaranteed 2 clues if there's an enemy, but you have to play it first action.
It is also a guaranteed 1 clue even if there isn't an enemy. This is not a guaranteed anything.
Yeah.
And do we have... What's our feeling on Willpower versus Intellect for... Like, again, Zoe. She just seems to be a great example at the moment. She's got 4 Willpower and 2 Intellect. That seems a lot better.
So Guardians, on average, have 3.3 Willpower and 2.5 Intellect.
Cool. The other thing is you're much more likely to have Willpower icons in Guardian than you are Intellect icon boosts.
Yeah, unless you've definitively decided you're boosting your Intellect and going to get clues that way. One way of playing Guardian is the Tesla's clues, the clues that you mentioned, like Greta Wagner clues, things like that, and then boosting your Willpower because... it's a good thing to boost. You have low sanity, generally speaking. I'm curious about this in Kohaku.
Yeah, I was going to say this. It's such a cliche to say this, but Kohaku with his Book of Legends,
mm-hmm.
That seems like a great home for this.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, actually, if you're running Bless,
yeah,
you're probably running Favor of the Sun.
Yeah,
if
I was
you're running
say,
Favor of the Sun, like
I've seen what's that card I love called Righteous Hunt.
I love it. You're just hoping that I could name. Yeah, there is one called Righteous Hunt. Yeah.
If you're running a Bless Guardian deck, so the alternate Zoe is Bless, right?
Or yeah, the parallel Zoe. Much is.
Mm-hmm. If you're doing some kind of Blessed Blade build, and yeah. you're using Blessing of Isis and Nephthys and that kind of stuff, this fits in that deck just as a little bit of. It's something that benefits from having Bless in the deck, in the bag,
yeah.
but also mm-hmm. puts Bless in there as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's an adder and a payoff, which mm-hmm. is lovely.
So, fine little card, I think, is my review of that.
Yeah, that's fair. Fine little card is good. Next, we have...
Is it me? I think it's me.
Did I just read that one?
I read that one. Yeah, because I read Absolution.
I think we got carried away.
Next, yeah. we've got Hold Up, one cost event. This is a combat and an agility icon, and it has the tactic and trick traits. Ooh, which means that Mark can take it. Parlay. Choose an enemy or location with an item asset in your hand. Perform a fight action against the chosen enemy. If you succeed, instead of dealing damage, play the chosen asset, reducing its cost by each point you succeeded by. Hands where I can see them. Wait, I didn't follow that at all. Choose an enemy or location and an item asset in your hand. Perform a fight action against... Oh, it's hold up as in... Not hold up as in don't go. It's hold up as in I'm going to rob you.
I don't know. The art and the card text, I don't know if they interact in that way.
Choose an enemy...
I think it's hold up like, steady on, friend. You're talking to the friend, the enemy, and in like talking them down, that's when you get your gun out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I understand it thematically to be.
Perform
doing.
A fight action against the chosen enemy. If you succeed, instead of dealing damage, play the chosen asset, reducing its cost by each point you succeed by.
Hands where I can see them, like you're getting your gun out as you're talking to him.
Yeah, but that it looks a lot to me like you're wrestling a weapon off someone else, taking something off because it's an item asset.
Yeah,
it's not a weapon.
You're parlaying them though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah. It's a physical parlay. That's what
we call it. Because you're fighting them. Yeah, yeah. Physical parlay.
Your Honor. That was merely parlaying.
With my fists to take the weapon off him. Yeah. Yes, that's right. It's a parlay and it's a fight. It's both.
Form a fight action against the chosen enemy. Basically, instead of doing damage, play the chosen asset, reducing the cost by each point you succeed by.
It's almost like this guy is saying, hold up. Put your hands where I can see them, and you're advancing menacingly on him, and then you wrestle the gun off him, or the magnifying glass, or whatever it is that you're pulling out. Yeah.
I feel like this card will often be bad. Can I shock you, Frank? Okay. I think this card isn't good. I think there's quite a lot wrong with it. If you fail the fight test,
mm-hmm.
you spent an action and a card and a resource to not play an asset.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. That's all those things are bad.
Yeah.
It just seems insane to me that would be an option.
Mm.
And an item asset in your hand. You don't get to use any of your fight like abilities in your mm-hmm. area.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can't use a weapon for the fight.
Can't use your weapon for the fight. Maybe does...
It says perform a fight... Oh, yeah.
So maybe like Nate's boxing gloves is a reaction to a fight, isn't it? But it isn't... Yeah, I mean, you don't deal damage anyway, so Nate's ability is not going to work. I don't know, man. Like, I would just rather play an asset. Like, what is this card? So there is a use case for this card, which I'll come to in a sec.
Okay.
What does this card do? It gives you a play action and potentially a reduction on cost. It allows you to play... Yeah. There we go. Right, it allows you to play an item without triggering an attack of opportunity.
That's the risk. So the payoff is... I pay one in this card to avoid an attack of opportunity and get a discount on my asset. And I'm getting the discount based on my combat stat because I'm fighting them.
Yeah.
So that potentially is a good discount. But the risk is I've paid, like you say, an action, a card, and a resource, and I don't get any discount, and I don't get the item out. And then I'm just forced to take the attack of opportunity that I was hoping to avoid and pay full cost.
Yeah.
So it's good if you're struggling. If I can only afford one resource for my weapon, but I can't afford four, I'm going to use this to get that. To be honest with you, it's like grift, right? It's conditional economy. And I'd say it's even more conditional than grift, because not only do you need an enemy and a test, but you also need the item you want to play in hand.
Yeah.
So you've got this like suite of things that need to go right for you for it to pay off. What is the use case you could think of?
Alessandra, yeah. And similar to what I said about Vamp a few weeks ago, it's a way of using those spare actions. Like, this is, if you've got an enemy or location, it's a play action for Alessandra. Yeah. Assuming she can pass the test, which maybe, you know, with some other parlay tech shouldn't be too difficult for her.
Yeah. In Alessandra, if you mess up, you've just lost the card and a resource. Maybe you want to mess up and pull out the British Bulldog.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Either way, you get a bulldog.
Yeah. For zero cost or whatever you succeed by reduced by. I guess the other thing about it is it falls into the challenge we've been having about evaluating parlay cards, that there's extra rules text they need for who the targets are and how they work. And then they don't fall down along stat lines. Mm. So this is one that's using combat against their fight value, and it's giving you a discount. But we've seen there are other ones that might use a different stat. Like last week when we talked about Mystic, there's a willpower one that's a fight. So they do this really interesting messing around of, well, what stat am I testing? What am I getting out of it? What action is it replacing? Does it matter whether or not it's giving me a freedom from an attack of opportunity? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So it makes it very hard to judge, essentially.
Yeah.
The most cop-outy of comments, but there we go. Right, next is me. And we have Task Force. Is this going to be... Oh no, we hadn't seen a couple of the earlier ones, right? We hadn't seen the cleaning kit or the katana. But anyway, this is a card we've not seen. I'm going to guess this is a double. Look at that.
There
two cost, intellect, combat, and agility icons.
No,
it's a tactic and a double. Yeah. Are they twins? They look similar. As an additional cost to play Task Force, spend an action. One at a time, in any order, and this is exciting, choose an investigator at your location to bullet one. Resolve an action ability on an asset they control without paying its action a cost. Two, move to a connecting location. And three, discover one clue at their location. So I could do these all on myself, and I could move, grab a clue, and then also do an action ability on asset control without paying the action cost.
Mm-hmm.
So I get like three actions worth for two actions. But if we're playing in multiplayer, I could make you move, I could grab a clue, I could give someone else an action to, I don't know, use their fingerprint kit or use their shriveling or whatever asset they control. Well, what do you make of it, Peter?
I think I like this. I think it's good. Like, it obviously strikes me as a Carson card.
But I don't think
that's necessarily a hot take. Just because you can then...
It's a good take, yeah.
Just think it's good.
Yeah.
If you had, like, a secret at your location with a fingerprint kit,
mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, move there, use fingerprint kit without spending an action.
Mm-hmm.
You still spend the charge. And then find a clue. So I've spent two actions and you've got...
three clues and a move.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you have safeguard, so you've gone with them anyway, because it has to be choosing them at your location. But that's fine.
Well, yeah, but they can move out of your location, though, can't they?
They can, but you have to choose and investigate your location to do each thing, right? One at a time. So if you pick the move and then you want to pick them to... resolve an action
time,
asset
in any
control.
Order, choose... Yeah, okay, cool. So if you've moved to the other location... Yeah, okay, cool.
No, but they can... no, they move, but you have safeguard.
Yeah, sure, that's what I mean, yeah.
yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah, I get you. It's not you pick those... someone gets to do all those three in any order. You have to pick...
One at a time.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I don't think it reduces the ability of the card. Like, the card is still great, as far as I can see.
And of course, if you're Carson, they get another action anyway.
Yeah.
I think, like the thing about Carson is the he needs to be near a lot of people to spread his actions around them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my ability is one free action for another investigator, but I'm limited in that I can only spend one action per investigator.
Mm-hmm.
So if we kind of make the assumption that Carson's strength is in giving his actions to other characters out of phase, out of sequence, and then also contributing actionlessly to their turns, if you're not near more than one investigator, you're kind of operating suboptimally. This allows you to really... It's you giving a whole turn's worth of actions to another character.
Yeah.
Out of sequence as well. So you could give someone, essentially, like the sequence of events we just talked about, well, let's assume it's three actions. So using an asset, moving, and then finding a clue. Plus Carson's free action. So Carson has given someone four actions and still got an action himself, and they still get their turn.
Yeah.
That seems good, yeah. Right?
It's tempo, basically. It's like, we need you to do these things right now. I'll make you do them. And that, I guess, leads me on to where I think this isn't just a Carson card. There are times when the fighter character, if this is in a fighter, has downtime.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like, could you just get some clues and help? Not really. And what if they could just give up two of their actions to someone else? Which is really cool. I mean, you could also, you can do it on yourself, obviously, as well. And I think there's probably value in grabbing a clue and then moving somewhere and smacking an enemy. You're just using this as a two-cost grab a clue, essentially. It's at that point, it's working a hunch, which is fine. But the ability to spread it out is what's great. And the ability to hand your actions over to someone who needs them is really cool.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I think it's good.
Cool. Should we go on to the last one?
Move us on to the next one.
No, there's two more.
We've got two left.
Okay, we've got Tinker. This is a one-cost event with an intellect and an agility icon. Tinker, insight and upgrade traits. Fast, play only during your turn. Attach Tinker to a tool asset in your play area. Limit one per asset. Attached asset takes up one fewer hand or accessory slot. You still call that a wrench? It's quite funny that the art is just a screwdriver, like, strapped to a wrench.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a useful tool. Why would you not just taking...
Why have you tinkered in that way?
Yeah, just hold them both.
I need extra torque on my screwdriver. I know, I'll attach this wrench to it.
It sort of weirdly makes sense in the world of Arkham Horror, which is that you only have two hands, so you can only hold two items.
Yeah. Yeah.
Therefore, if you tape two things together, you can hold them both at once. So you can suddenly hold... You don't have a pocket or something.
I like this one a lot as well.
Yeah?
This was announced by Tengo Unplan.
Tell me why you like it.
So the challenge with adding slots in this game is that you often have to play an asset that gives you another slot or invest experience for that slot. And this is a one-cost fast way of gaining a slot. So it's cheaper than playing another asset, and it's XP cheaper than buying another slot permanently.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sitting there. Yeah, you need to find this card to be able to do that, but the same applies for finding that asset, the bandolier or the tool belt that gives you extra slots anyway.
Yeah.
Tool belt promises you can have unlimited extra slots for tools as long as you're willing to shuffle them around. Whereas this, you just attach it to a tool, and that tool potentially is slotless, or if it's a two-handed tool, it's now one-handed. So I think it's just really nice. We can think about lots of the tools that we've seen across the classes. Like, we've seen in Seeker, the chemistry set takes up the accessory slot. We've seen, is it the cleaning kit takes up the accessory slot? You know, you can lose not just a hand slot, but an accessory slot instead. I just think it's really good in that way. It's just really, really generous and useful. What do you think?
Yeah. I think it's good. Hand slots and accessory slots are really powerful. Are really powerful. Full stop. End of that sentence.
If you're running Kate, say, and you want a suite of tool and science down to add clues to, you're limited by your slots to make that suite.
Remind me what Kate's deck building is. Can Kate take
insight 0 to 1.
Nice. Okay, cool.
If you're running Wilson and you're getting boosts for the tools you use, you're going to run a suite of tools. So this is good for Wilson as well. I can see it fitting nicely if tools is the thing you're running. I mean, even in any seeker who can take it, if you're running magnifying glass and fingerprint kit and any other hand asset, you've got a hand issue at that point, and Tinker solves that for you. Those are both tools. You can just make one of them hands-free, which is lovely.
Yeah, no, I agree. Nice card.
And last, we have Purified.
Yes.
So this card was revealed by Crypt Drill. It's Purified. Again, with the, like, Venetian...
Is this me to read this
priestly
one?
Vibe. Yeah. It's me to read, I think.
Oh, yeah. You just read Tinker. Yes, I did. Yes.
Yeah. This is a skill. Zero cost, no icons, so kind of useless. Max one committed per skill test. You may commit Purified to any type of test. If this skill test is successful, for each point you succeeded by to a maximum of 5, add one bless or remove one curse token from the chaos bag.
For each point you succeed by, add or... Yeah. Oh, man, this is a tricky one.
So in Innsmouth, there was a card Predestined.
Yeah.
That also had no icons. It's a survivor card. You can commit it to any type of test. And if the test fails, it's either add 2 bless or remove 2 curse from the chaos bag. And I don't feel like I saw that card played at all. Wow. And the top review of it says, unfortunately, this is probably one of the worst cards in the game and on the same page as Kukri, as that it will never ever see anybody play if they want an optimal deck. It's a shame that this card is one of the most beautiful artworks I've seen, but will never find space in any deck that I make.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Okay. Just damning review there. What, like... There is actually a really curious topic here, and I know we're running out of time, but as to why that is, why do people not want, in Survivor, their fail tech to add bless or remove curse? And then I guess we can bring some of those comments over to Purified as well. See, Purified, I can see you adding a lot more in, because you might be in a situation where you're attacking with a big weapon with a big combat boost, and you throw Purified in along with it to just make the bag even better after that test.
Mm-hmm.
And your goal as the guardian in the blessed team might just be like, I'm going to make the bag feel good for everyone all the time. So I'm running my ancestral token, and every time I kill an enemy, I'm adding more bless. And like, oh, we're getting low on bless. Don't worry, I'm doing a big hit. I'll chuck in Purified. I've succeeded by 4. That's another 4 bless. We're all doing well. Similarly, we've got that annoying accursed follower. They keep adding curse. Don't worry, I'm going to do a big swing against this enemy and remove a load of curse. That's how I see it working. Is that any good, though?
Yeah. It's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know.
What do you make of it? I mean, I feel like I've talked and talked. And
I feel like I just wouldn't run this card. I don't like... If you consider the addition of bless or removal of curse, I guess, as a kind of pseudo-economy, a bit like gaining resources... Don't like any resource gain tied to a test.
Yeah, you like to know that I'm playing my Keep Faith, I'm getting 4 bless in the bag.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it when I want it. I'm not waiting for a test that I can smash.
And it's not like this card gives any other benefit beyond Purified. Beyond what it says, right? It adds bless, or it's not like it's helping you pass the test you're committing it to.
Yeah, it's not a wild icon to help you do that.
Yeah, like a Cursed would be. I feel much warmer towards a Cursed than I do towards Purified, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Also, not like the vibe of the art's a bit off.
Maybe, and these cards have existed before in Arkham, this idea that you take a test to play an asset, or you take a test to get resources. And maybe it is just that there's enough of a lottery in the game already with what enemies you draw, can you pass the tests to get clues, so on and so forth. But actually... players adding tests to their own deck for things like you say that you want to be reliable, we're just cool on. So similarly with Hold Up, it's like there's such a risk of it just being a complete damp squib that we both recoil from it. And maybe there's a player out there who really loves the lottery of it. They'd really love playing where they chuck in Purified and they succeed by 5 and they're like, oh yeah, that's really, you know, they like the highs and lows. And maybe it's the same player that likes Lucky Penny and loves the gamble of is this actually a curse? Is it actually a bless? You know, it's just kind of the freedom of it.
Yeah.
Potentially. It's funny because I don't think of myself as particularly like a optimized player or anything like that. I'm probably somewhere in the middle of the road. So yeah, that is the end of our Guardian cards. And that brings us to the end of all of our level zero cards, except the neutral level zero cards.
Yes, which we will cover together at some point soon.
Yes. What's your top pick, Peter?
Task Force. It's got to be for me. 100%.
Yeah, I thought you would pick that. That would probably be mine. I'm interested about Ancestral Token, and I want to see that in action as well.
Yeah.
I think that could be a sleeper strong card, so... Yeah, and I want to spend a bit of time getting my head around Katana, because it's a 3-damage hit weapon, but is it?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for listening. We're drawntotheflamepodcast@gmail.com. We're Drawn to the Flame on Facebook, Twitter, Designed by Humans, Patreon. Please become a patron if you're not already. And thank you to all our patrons who are supporting us. And yeah, thanks for listening. Catch you soon.
Thank you so much.